Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guests are Don Walker and Natalie Ferris, and they are the owners of Forage Apothecary, and they are the makers of edible cannabis treats such as peppermint patties, almond buttercup, and the weekend warrior, and lemon squares. Now, how did you guys get involved in the business of making cannabis edibles?
Well, we're involved in the business of cannabis, and we're involved in the business of food. We're really passionate about food. And we're nutritionists and herbalists, so just a natural evolution of our passion in life, yeah.
Did you grow up cooking in the kitchen? Was it something you've done all your lives?
Absolutely. I've always been in the kitchen with my three siblings as the oldest, helping to cook meals, and I have a love for cooking, so definitely is pretty ingrained in my being.
And then a love for the sweet items, too.
I can definitely attest to that. I have a sweet tooth, so these items are really close to my heart because they have no refined sugar. They're made with healthy ingredients, dates, for example, and therefore it doesn't affect my body as adversely as sweets with processed sugar.
Right. You don't get those spikes, spikes in energy. Yeah. And you use a lot of raw ingredients. It seems like raw is real important to you as well.
Yeah, we use all raw ingredients and organic ingredients. The raw cuisine is really about activating the food, making it more nutritious than it is, or at least keeping it from becoming less nutritious by processing and cooking. Most of our things are sprouted, and all of them are raw and unrefined and uncooked, so the enzymes are really active, they're easy to digest, they're really nutritious.
Okay. Now, this has been something coming up with these edibles. It's kind of new to everybody. I mean, it's new to the state who's kind of trying to regulate things and new to the business owner who's trying to make things. What have been some of the hurdles that you've had to go through to become a business that makes cannabis edibles?
Well, there's really not any regulations in place at this time. I do think that they are refining that as new laws are put in place. For us, we have looked to other communities that are allowing edible makers to explore their craft and entertain commercial kitchen spaces in those communities, namely in San Francisco.
So they've kind of worked through some of these hurdles, because I'm just imagining it just seems like there isn't a real clear path. Where do you source your cannabis for doing some of these things?
With the cannabis, it is the most defined path for us, as all of our cannabis is organically grown by our own collective members.
Oh, okay. So the members are the people who are growing the cannabis that you're using?
Some of the farms involved in our collective are members of our collective. So it's a closed loop system.
Okay. And so how are you able to know that the ingredients are certified organic?
All of the cannabis that is used in our production, one, is tested, not for organic certification, but it's tested for pesticide use, it's tested for THC and CBD content, and it's also grown on organic farms that use organic ingredients. All of our farms use organic products that are sourced from a local business called Soilscape Solutions, and those are all OMRI-listed products.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the things I think people always ask, you know, should I always buy organic products? What if I know the farmer? What if I know what they're doing, what their practices are? And it just seems like in this case, that's how that works for you.
Absolutely. Organic certification in cannabis doesn't exist on NOP level. However, clean green certification is an option, and other third-party certifiers, as well as some of our farms entertaining a new certification with Demeter Biodynamic Farms.
So you were talking, too, about the THC and the CBD that are in the edibles that you make. Those are two ingredients that we recognize being in marijuana. What are they and what properties do they have?
They are both cannabinoids, two different cannabinoids in marijuana. And they're both really effective for fighting cancer. They're both amazing medicines, but the CBDs are not psychotropic. So they actually both work on different levels to fight cancer. But the CBDs specifically have other properties. They're anti-anxiety, they're antipsychotic, so they're really good for stress and anxiety.
Seems like anti-nausea, too, is something that I hear associated with some of these edibles as well. Like if you are going through some treatment that is causing you some nausea, maybe it will help you not have the nausea, be able to, you know, eat better, that sort of thing.
Yeah, sometimes it works well with appetite. Yeah.
Seems like it's like an individual basis, you know, it kind of works with everybody a little bit differently. Now, you guys make the sweet. What about the savories? Do you see any future in doing things that are more savory? Have you thought about doing that?
Yeah, I think that the reason we're all of our products right now are sweet is because we're really responding to the industry. There aren't a lot of sweet treats in the industry that are actually nutritious.
Yeah.
And that's really the gap that we're trying to fill. It's medicine, and ours are primarily CBD medicine. So it's the whole flower, so there's THC and CBD in all of them. But there are strains that are really high in CBD. So both the nutritional content and the lack of processing in the food, it's really meant as medicine for people with real medical issues, not as a recreational treat. So the things that you encounter in a dispensary are really a lot of refined sugars and a lot of enriched flours.
Right, seems counterintuitive, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
You're trying to get better and eating things that are kind of harmful in many ways.
Absolutely.
Now, when you make your edibles, I mean, it seems like in some of the recipes that I've seen, like the very first step is incorporating the cannabis into the fat. Is that really the first step of the process? And how do you do that? And what sorts of fats do you use?
It's one of the first steps, yeah. We activate the cannabis and we use unrefined coconut oil to infuse.
And then after we go through that step, we test our big batches of infused coconut oil with Pure Analytics to find out what the content is and track our processes.
That's nice to know. So you guys test your product so you know how much is in the big batch. And then it seems like it would help you to then say, you know, one dose is an X size brownie, 2 by 2 inches or something like that. Is that pretty much how you do it?
Exactly. We work diligently with the labs with our initial testing, as well as the math involved in configuring the dosage sizes. And then at times we do retest the final product to confirm.
That sort of makes sense too, because I think about, you know, fats and foods and how things travel, that, you know, you want to make sure you don't have a spot where something's pooling in it and yet you end up with a higher concentration. Now, you have an interesting sort of method on how you work with the people. It's actually a donation process for people who get your product. Tell me how that works and how people are members.
Well, within the legal structures in California, Prop 215, and we have a medical collective in which our members are receiving their medicine in exchange for a donation that goes directly back into the collective.
Okay. From what I've heard, it sounds like there is a lot of movement to making marijuana legal as a recreational drug in California. Is that something that you're thinking about? Are you kind of gearing up for that? Is that going to be a new market for you?
Yes, I think our whole community is thinking about that and moving towards those things. Our commercial kitchen is in our near future, and it is actually being built. We didn't have that before.
And so leading up to this, you were saying you're looking for a commercial kitchen now. So have you been falling under the cottage food industry for how you produce your product?
That's right.
Okay. What sort of challenges has that presented?
I'm not sure that there are too many challenges. We're really in the nascent stages of our company. So we are doing a lot of the extractions and a lot of experimentation. And then we use the labs to figure out what we're doing right and move forward.
Yeah, it's an exciting time. Research and development is something that a lot of businesses in this industry are engaging in, and we feel very blessed to be a part of that and able to practice our passions and craft.
Great. Now, if people are interested in getting a hold of you, how might they reach you?
We have a website,
forageapothecary.com,
and you can also follow us on Instagram.
Great. Thank you. Thanks so much. This is Jennifer Bell, and I've been talking with Don Walker and Natalie Ferris of Forage Apothecary. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Grapes and the cakes. Hey, come on to my house, come on. Come
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.